In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Oh, the news gets even darker, but I want to tell you, keep your faith in Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, on no one else, not on Father Tom, not on the Pope, not on any bishop. Keep your eyes on Jesus so that you will be able to go through this difficult time. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm looking at 1 Timothy verse 14, chapter 3. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these instructions to you so that if I am delayed, you may know how you ought to behave in the household of God. What is the household of God? Which is the church of the living God. The church is the pillar and bulwark of truth. The church is the pillar and bulwark of truth. The church. There was only one church at the time. It was holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Without any doubt, the mystery of our religion is great. And what is the mystery? He was revealed in the flesh. That's Jesus. Vindicated in the spirit. That's Jesus. Seen by angels. That's Jesus. Proclaimed among Gentiles. That's Jesus. Believed in throughout the world. How? Through the proclamation of the gospel. Taken up in glory. That's the ascension. Chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will renounce the faith by paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. I tell you, people are renouncing the faith because of what they're hearing on the news. And I tell you, my faith is not in the Pope. My faith is not in the bishops. My faith is in the faith of the church, which is Jesus Christ, that we are to keep our eyes fixed on him. Through the hypocrisy of liars, whose consciences are seared with hot iron, these are people. What do? They are into false asceticism. They forbid marriage, which is wrong. They demand abstinence from foods which God created and to be received with thanksgiving, which is wrong. By those who believe and know the truth, for everything created by God is good. And nothing is rejected. Ah, God created you. You're good. You're good. And if you've given your life to Jesus, you're good enough. You're good enough. Because you are loved with an everlasting love. Despite what's happening in the news, despite what they're saying about the Pope, you are God's people. Loved by the Father, loved by the Son, and loved by the Spirit of God. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected, provided it is received with thanksgiving. So we pray over our food before we eat, for it is sanctified by God's word and prayer. Oh, I claim the last chapter of Mark, that we would eat poisons and they wouldn't hurt us, that we would drink poisons and they wouldn't hurt us. Let's continue. If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ. Yes. Yes, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he gave his life for us, that he rose from the dead, that he has a plan for your life. Nourished on the words of the faith and of sound teaching that you have followed. And yes, the sound teaching given to Timothy by Paul. Have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales. Train yourself in godliness, for while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Now the Spirit says in the latter days that people would renounce the faith by paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Do not renounce the faith. It is the faith of Jesus Christ. Do not renounce Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Do not renounce the church, even though we're hearing terrible things about people in the church. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and struggle because we have our hope set on the living God, who is Savior of all people. Who is that hope? Our hope, our firm hope, is on the living God, who is the Savior of all people. His name is Jesus Christ, especially on those who believe. Is he your Savior today? Have you made him your Lord today? Or are you listening to everybody else talking about the church rather than putting your eyes on Jesus? Yes, the church should be the light of the world. And you know what? Many leaders have discouraged us. But my faith is not in the leader. My faith is in Jesus Christ. These are the things you must insist on and teach. Let no one despise your youth. Timothy was young. But set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Yes, don't let people bother you because you're young. You've received the anointing to preach the gospel. You've received the anointing to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do not let anyone rob that from you. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of the scripture. What scripture? The Old Testament. To the exhorting, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands. What's that gift? That gift of ordination, that gift of being a leader, that gift of proclaiming Jesus Christ. When it was given to him through the laying on of hands and prophecy by the council of elders, put these things into practice. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Pay attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this you will save both yourself and your hearers. What teachings? That Jesus Christ gave his life for us, that Jesus Christ was buried, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that we are not saved by works, but by grace through faith, which produces works. Oh, stay in the proclamation of the gospel. Do not veer away from the proclamation of the gospel. The duties toward believers. Do not speak harshly to older men, but speak to them as to a father, to a younger man, or to as brothers, to older women as mothers, to younger women as sisters. In other words, don't overstep what God has given you. You are to preach to those that are fathers as if you were his son. You are to preach together to mothers as if you are the mother's son. You are to preach to the sisters with absolute purity. There's always been trouble with purity. There's always been trouble with purity. And St. Paul says you are to preach to the sisters, the women, as sisters, in absolute purity. Honor widows who are really widows. If a widow has children or grandchildren, they should first learn their religious duty to their family. In other words, a widow should be taken care of by her family, by her children, by her grandchildren, and make some repayment to their parents, for this is pleasing
to God's sight.
I know that nursing homes are necessary for some people, but I'm telling you, not for everybody. We are to care for our mothers and fathers. We are to care for them who cared for us. I'm not saying nursing homes are not good. You are to find the best nursing home so that your mother or your father would rest in peace in this nursing home. You are to visit them because they are your mother and father, even though they have gotten old.
The real widow left alone has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day.
That's the real widow. There are other widows that are talking falsely. There are other widows that are talking about genealogies.
There are other widows talking about things that are not of God. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give these commands as well, so that they may be above reproach. And whoever does not provide for relatives and especially for family members has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
If you don't care for your mother and father who are old, you're worse than an unbeliever.
Let a widow be put on the list if she is not less than 60 years old and has been married only once. She must be well attested for her good works as one who has brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the saints' feet, helped the afflicted, and devoted herself to good, doing good in every way, but refused to put younger widows on the list. Why? For when their sensual desires alienate them from Christ, they want to marry, and so they incur condemnation for having violated their first pledge to be widows. Besides that, they learn to be idle, gadding about from house to house, and they are not merely idle, but they are also gossips and busybodies, saying that they should not say.
You know, gossip and busybodies, that's such a temptation. That's such a temptation to be a gossip or a busybody. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Stop worrying about other people. Stop thinking about other people. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the author and finisher of our salvation. Keep your eyes on Jesus. These younger widows might be inflamed with passion, and they go from house to house, merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies. Don't be a gossip and don't be a busybody. So I would have younger widows marry and bear children and manage their households, so to give the adversary no occasion to revile us. In other words, let the younger women get married so that what? The devil will not have anything over us. For some have already turned away to follow Satan. If any believing widow or woman has relatives who are really widows, let her assist them. Let the church not be burdened so that it can assist those who are real widows. The family is called to protect and to help real widows. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, elders, double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. I tell you, those who labor in preaching and teaching have a great responsibility before God. Our teaching and our preaching must be in Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in what I want it to be, not in my vacation, but in the proclamation of Jesus Christ, of his suffering, death, burial, and resurrection. Yes, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it is treading on the grain. and the laborer deserves to be paid. Now, Paul was a laborer, and he did not accept payment. Why? He made tents. He did not want people to say, Paul is working for filthy lucre. Paul is working for money. No, he made tents so that he would be the one that could say, I do not work for money. Never accept any accusations against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest also may stand in fear in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels. In other words, rebuke those that are in sin in the congregation. I warn you to keep these instructions without prejudice, doing nothing on the basis of partiality. Who would they be partial to? People with money. In other words, do nothing out of the basis of partiality. Do not ordain anyone hastily. Do not participate in the sins of others. Make sure the ones that you are ordaining to be priests and deacons are ready to be priests and deacons, that they are men of God. Yes, keep yourself pure, Timothy. Keep yourself pure, because you're a young man, and young men can go off the wrong way with their feelings. No longer drink only water, but take a little wine for the sake of your stomach. So he had a stomach problem. You know, I think Timothy was kind of, anxious and discouraged. And I think it affected his stomach. That's why Paul writes to him, to be the man of God that he is, to be the man of God and not worry about being young. So no longer drink only water, but take a little wine for the sake of your stomach and for frequent ailments. The sins of some people are conspicuous and precede them in judgment, while the sins of others follow them there. So also good works are conspicuous, and even when they are not, they cannot remain hidden. In other words, you are to be doing good works, not to be seen, but to do good works because you're Christians, to be do good works because you're Catholics. Yes, let all who are under the yoke, chapter 6, of slavery regard their masters as worthy of honor. They still had slaves in this time. So that the name of God and the teaching may not be blasphemed. Those who have believed and believing masters must not be disrespectful to the believing masters on the ground that they are members of the church. Rather, they must serve them all the more, since those who benefit by their services are believers and beloved. And I tell you that the slaves that have become Christians are to know that they are as good as their boss, because they have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and by the cross of Jesus. Teach and urge these duties. Whoever teaches otherwise and does not agree with sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and of the teaching that is in accordance with godliness is conceited, understanding nothing, and has a morbid craving for controversy or disputes about words. This is, again, this thing that Paul keeps on telling Timothy, to stay away from disputes about words, to stay away from things that people are talking about your ancestry, about who you belong to. You belong to Jesus Christ. You belong to Him. You belong to the Lord. From these come envy and dissension, slander, base suspicions, and wrangling among those who are depraved in mind and bereft of truth, imagining the godliness is a means of gain. Godliness is a means of gain. But our godliness is in Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's why the baptism of the Spirit is so necessary, that our godliness be in Jesus Christ and not in anything else.
that our godliness be in Jesus Christ, and we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. There is great gain in godliness, combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. That's for sure. We brought nothing into the world, and we're going to bring nothing out of it. We need to use what we have for the saints, for the power of God, for the church. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. You know, you can get rich being religious. You can get rich being religious. You send me this money and I'll pray for you personally. No, no, no. No, no, no. My phone is constantly ringing. Just last week, someone asked me to pray for somebody. And the person said, what donation should we bring? I said, no donation. I'm not out to make money. I'm out to proclaim the gospel and to pray for the sick. That's what I'm out to do. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money is the root of evil, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Don't love money. How do you not love money? Give a lot away. Give a lot away to the poor. Give a lot away to your church. Give a lot away to the ministries. In their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. It's sad. It's sad. I'm sure the ones that want to be rich started off on the right foot, but then they were intrigued by getting rich. They were intrigued by money. I tell you, money is good if it's used for the Lord and for His purposes. The love of money is the root of all evil. I want to invite people to the Charismatic Renewal Services on September 8th at 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Where is it held? The Immaculate Conception in Malden. September 8th from 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. And the admission is $30. There'll be a light breakfast and a full lunch that's included. We need to get together. We need to be together with people that believe, because the world as it is passing away, and it is very sad because we do not know how to respond. We do not know how to respond in a world that has gone mad. But as for you, men of God, shun all this, you love of money. Pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. Pursue faith. Pursue love. Pursue endurance. Pursue gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Yes, and it is a fight. It is a fight because we live in the world and we can be tarnished by the world. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you were made, the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He made his confession to be a man of God in the presence of the church, in the presence of God, in the presence of the church, and in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and to Christ Jesus, who is his testimony before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep the commandments without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ coming in glory. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women,
Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. People, no matter what you hear on television or radio or read in the papers, it's time to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. It's time to know that Jesus is the Lord and that he is the Lord of his church, that he is now cleansing by his blood, by his cross. It is time for us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, remembering the word of Peter, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Holy One of God. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Please help me so that we can pay our bills. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.